Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
All right, we're on the subject of Uncharted. If you look on your notes and follow along, Jeff did a great job last week. I listened to it online and made some excellent points on the subject of Uncharted. Uncharted meaning not recorded or plotted on a map. If you hear of an uncharted island, it's something maybe they didn't know about. It's not charted on a map. It's not on a plan. It's uncharted means the unknown. And let me tell you how this came about. At the turn of the year, moving from 2012 to 2013, my heart began to be stirred. I can't say it started then. It actually, my heart's been stirred, and I've really been wrestling with God for about 4 years. 4 years because in 2008 and 2009, we saw some dramatic changes happen in America and in our world. You could say it was just the economy, but it was more than the economy, although the economy was a main focus for a lot of people, because when it hits our pocketbooks, it hits us. So a lot of people were being challenged. They've been challenged to reevaluate their retirement, being challenged to reevaluate any investment, being challenged on their jobs. And for a four-year period of time, I watched families go through some wrestling with God about where was God taking them in the future. I can't tell you how many times I stood here at the altars over those years and prayed with families. They said, you know, we have tried and tried and tried. We've been out of work 9 months, 18 months, and I got a job, but it's in California. We got to move. People that have been here 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and it's hard. It's hard for a pastor to see people go through that. So you pray and say, God, where are we going? And if you remember, if you go back, we begin to try to address it in a subject of in God we trust, because we knew everything else was going to fail us. Nothing else was sure. We couldn't count on anything. And what we have on that dollar bill is in God we trust, and we better trust in the God and not the dollar bill. So we begin to focus in on that. I think that was a tremendous help. I think it helped us refocus. I don't think everything that happened over the last 4 or 5 years has been negative. Matter of fact, I think it's been good for America. I think a lot of the realignment of our attitudes and as we approach things, that maybe we're not going to take things for granted so much, and maybe we are going to be turning our eyes to rely on the one we need to rely on. So hear me when I say that. I think it's good sometimes to check our motives and to check our lifestyles and make sure that we're not living foolishly. So that all that was happening, 08, 09, 10, 11, and you know, sometimes you think you're coming out of it, you're not coming out of it. But I want to tell you, behind the scenes, and I pray with families, I know people, even to this day, still struggle, still trying to kind of find where that place for the future. But what we've come to realize, that the future is more uncharted than we really believed. It's not plotted. It's not planned out. The best of plans that we have can fall apart in a moment. You wake up, you go, and you find out that that job's not there any long, or that family situation is not what it used to be or what you wanted it to be. So we have this uncertainty about the future. So as we were going into it, I thought, God, not only are individuals going through this, but individuals make up this church, this ministry. So I was wrestling with God, where are you taking us? It just seems, Lord, that we've had a good run, and I remember using that term. We've had a good run. God's been good to us as a ministry. This church has been in existence since the mid-60s. We've seen God move in tremendous ways through the 70s and 80s and 90s, and there seemed to be a continual growth and a continual blessings of God financially, but all of this then began to hit us too, and we had to take a good look. Because the finances, because families were being hit, the church is going to be hit. So we had to look at things, and we certainly didn't want to pull back from any ministries, but we had to reevaluate. We had to make sure that anyone that was leaving, we weren't just automatically hiring. We were looking at how to do things a little bit better, tightening the belt. How many know what it means to tighten the belt? We all have to do it. Businesses have to do it. I know business owners that have just totally changed their strategy as far as going on in the future. So this was all happening, and as I was wrestling over that, the thought hit me, God, I've been in this church since 1971. I've been privileged, and my wife has been in this church since 1967. We've had the privilege of watching God do mighty things. So we looked at each other, and we looked at where we're going, and the thought hit me, and I know it was a word from God. It took me to Joshua chapter 3. It made it very clear to me that where we're going, we haven't passed this way before. That we're going to be taken into areas maybe we weren't so accustomed to. So that's how this whole series kind of developed, Uncharted. If we're going through this, if we're sensing it, you're sensing it, we're sensing it together, it's a family of faith, let's talk about it. Let's really look at how do we face the uncertainty of the future, have the wisdom of God, have our feet solidly planted on the ground, and move ahead with that understanding that God's going to give us from the Word. Because I firmly believe this, God doesn't wake up and say, how did that happen? We might wake up and say, how did that happen? But God never wakes up and say, wow, I didn't expect that. But we say that often, don't we? But God doesn't. And sometimes you have to regain perspective. Sometimes you have to just get your thinking straight again. And the thinking straight again is, listen, nothing's throwing God. He knew exactly what we'd be going through. He knew we would be living in this time. We would be part of this ministry at this particular time. So now what we have to do, okay, God, you're aware of all this. What's my part in it? How do I handle myself? How do I lead my family? How do I lead my business? How do we become a good employee? How do we become the ministry you want us to become in the future? Not just, it's great in the past, but Lord, what do you have for us in the future? Of course, I was drawn to Joshua, because there's no book like Joshua that talks about the uncertainty of the future, and so makes it clear that God was totally talking about moving on, moving in, claiming ground, claiming your inheritance. That's what Joshua is all about. And I would expect that our future is all about that too. Our promised land, our inheritance, the things that God has for us in the future. Matter of fact, these things were written, we're told, for our learning. This is why these books were written. That's why these experiences, we see how God taught them, and God's going to teach us through their experiences. So begin to deal with that. So in Joshua chapter 3, the first four verses are really kind of the launching pad for this whole series on Uncharted. Of course, the children of Israel are getting ready to pass over from what was the wilderness experience now into a promised land. But there were going to be several obstacles to face. The first one was the Jordan River, and then Jericho, the walled city of Jericho. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, chapter 3, verse 1. And they set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, of course, the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God, your God, the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. I think if there's anything we want to do, your presence here tells me you want to go after it. You want to go after God. You want to go after your inheritance. So we're going to go after it. Yet, there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way, listen to this now, by which you must go. For you have not passed this way before. In the NIV translation, it says, since you have never been this way before. The New Living Translation says, since you have never traveled this way before. I truly believe we're going to places we haven't been before. That's the whole key. So however you say it, you haven't passed, you haven't been, you haven't traveled this way before, that's our future. That's what we have before us. So here's the question. How do we successfully, say successfully, because you can move into the future, it doesn't mean it's going to be successful. But how do we successfully handle the uncharted future, the uncertainty of the future that is before us? Well, Joshua chapter 1 now, if you'll just flip back there, we're going to pull 3 points out of the first 5 verses. In Joshua chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving them, the children of Israel. Note, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, to the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Let me give you the first point. No, it's okay that you have not passed this way before. I think we get hung up in the very fact of the uncertainty of the future. We wrestle, there's anxiety, there's trepidation, there's fear, and that alone can stop you right there. So no, it's okay. Say it's okay. Okay. It is totally okay that you haven't passed this way before. It gave me an assurance. I can't tell you the peace that when the Lord spoke this verse to me, that you haven't passed this way before, and the understanding that that's okay, I just went, if it's okay with you, God, it's okay with me. You know, it's kind of like God saying, I've got it in control. If you can just understand, it's okay. So it's okay that you haven't passed this way before. Matter of fact, it's not only okay, it's the only way to go. The just shall live by what? Faith. That's uncertainty what's going to happen. But something inside tells you it's going to be okay. That's what faith is all about. Hebrews chapter 11, 1. 2 Corinthians says, we walk by faith, not by what? Don't we love to walk by sight? Oh, it's so much more comfortable. If you just show me, if I get my arms around it, I get my mind wrapped around it, it's so easy to take a step toward it. And it's all laid out before you. But I want to tell you something. Whether you're a new believer or whether you're kind of in the mid-range, you've been serving for several years, or maybe you've been serving them all your life, you're going to go places, or God wants to take you places you haven't been before, and it's okay. You're not going to understand it. You're not going to see it first. You're going to have to step out in obedience toward it. Notice this next verse here in Exodus chapter 23. It takes us back now to God's word to the children as they were under the leadership of Moses. Notice what he says here. I will not drive them out from before you, talking about the enemies that are going to be in the promised land, before you in 1 year. Now, my first year of serving the Lord, a lot of things happened. I mean, dramatic things. It was obvious. It went from darkness to light. And when you first walk in a room and the light bulb goes on, it shines bright. You see clearly. A lot of things happened the first year, first, second year, third year. You know, but I begin to realize that not everything that needed to happen in my life happened in that first year or second year or third year. I begin to realize that God's ways were leading me little by little. And that's what he says here. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you. Now notice the reason here. Until you have increased and you inherit the land. You see, God's purpose for giving it to us little by little, by leading us that way, is that we might increase in our faith, increase in our trust, increase in our a character traits so that what? We can handle what God wants to take us into in the future. It would be a big mistake. And probably the big mistake is that we were moving into things in America as America that we could not handle, and they bit us in the end. I mean, to follow what I'm talking about here, move in too quickly. God doesn't do that. He's not gonna let you get ahead of where he wants you to be. So that's why it's okay until you increase, until you can handle it. Now, I've added a verse I'm going to bring up on the graphics here. It's out of Hebrews chapter 11. And, of course, that's the whole chapter on faith, a great chapter. But notice here. Notice this isn't a new thing to Joshua, a new way of leading his people. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed. Say obeyed. When he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, as he went out, say it with me, not knowing where he was going. God's ways from the very beginning were to lead people not knowing where they were going. That was Abraham. Now, I'll note something here. It's something new to me this week in my study, is that when Abraham was moving out of that land of Ur on the east side of the Jordan River to the promised land in the beginning, the only thing he was told is get up and go. There was no promise yet. Do you hear what I said there? There was get up and go to a place he hadn't been before. He didn't know where he was going, but he obeyed. Listen, the greatest step that you can take is a step of obedience. I cheer these who took the step of obedience and got baptized today. Because you don't know where you're going, but when you know that God is leading you in a direction, just obey. You might not have the promises yet. You might not know what it is, but you just obey. When I was making a decision that what I was going to do after my service time back in 1971, I had made all kinds of plans that I felt real good about in going to college out in Northern California. I had my papers submitted. The very fact that I was getting in college with the grades that I had before I was in the service was a miracle to me. So I really felt God was in this, and I was accepted. Matter of fact, the service even agreed to let me out a couple months early so that I could start the semester. So I thought that was a miracle that they were going to let me out. So all of it seemed to go together until I attended a service. And at a particular service, it was happened to be here in Denver, I'd come back for the weekend, I was prayed for at the altars. And as I was prayed for at the altars, God spoke to my heart. It was clear. I can't say it was a vision. I can't say it was just words. It was kind of a combination. But it was very clear I was not to go to college in California, but come back to Denver. I have a ministry for you here. Now, I'm young in the Lord. It's only about 6 months into my walk, but I knew that I knew. You know where I knew it? Down in my, we haven't talked about this for a while. Knower. Where's your knower at? Down in your belly. Some of us have bigger knowers than others. Does that mean we know more? Sure it does. But that knower is deep down here, and you just kind of know. Proverbs tells us that the spirit of man is down around the belly. And so the spirit. So I just knew this was right. Matter of fact, when I stood up, I actually was slain in the spirit. I was just out. I mean, it never happened to me before. I was just kind of out. And when I got this word, I stood up, and a couple gentlemen said to me, did God speak to your heart? I said, yes, he did. And I told them what they said. They said, we believe that's right. Now, I packed up my little 67 red, white, and blue Volkswagen Bug, and I drove to Colorado from California when I got out of the service. I had no idea what I was going to do. I just knew that I was supposed to be here. Now, I can say that with all assurity today, 42 years later, look where I am. What God has done in those years. I found my wife, my family's here, you're my family here. It has been great. So those little moves, I just stepped out and obeyed, and then God began to show me little by little. That's why it's so important to be sensitive and in tune with the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about it a lot. So here was Abraham, the father of our faith, who gives us the guidance that we need to go on our faith. Now let's go to the second one, because the second one, I would say, is the heart of this message. This is the one that I was passionate about. I couldn't wait until I got here to talk about this key because I believe it's a real key for victory in the future. Let's say it, and then we'll go back to it. Number two, we must eliminate the boundaries we set for ourselves before we can move into the boundaries God has set for us. I want that to sink in a little. We must eliminate the boundaries we set for ourselves before we can move into the boundaries that God has set for us. Now, you notice in these verses that the boundaries were set for them. The east, the west, the north, and the south. This was the land. Now, they hadn't inhabited it yet. They hadn't been there yet. They just knew it was there, and God was going to lead them. There had to be enemies driven out from the various parts that were within those boundaries. But God had certain areas he wanted them to move into. I firmly believe that God has something for every one of us. I do believe God has a place for every one of us. He has a north, a south, and an east, and a west. He wants us to move in and occupy the boundaries that he has for us. Now, God's blessings are for all people, but certainly he doesn't call all people to the same thing. They're called to different things. Whether you're a businessman or whether you work for a business, whether you're in ministry, whether you're a mom, a dad, a family, whatever, he wants to take you somewhere. This is God's desire. I mean, you're going to know why by the end of this message. But to me, this is important. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, in order to eliminate the boundaries that you set for ourselves, we're going to have to deal with some past that's not so good. And that's why God was saying this to Joshua. It wasn't a new thing to Joshua. It wasn't some revelation. Moses, my servant, is dead. Really? When did he die? Oh, Joshua knew he died. It was on the other side. He knew he left, and, you know, he didn't know exactly what happened to him, but he was gone, and he was in that position. God was making a statement here. And the statement was, listen, you've got a future. You've got to focus in on the future. You had some good times with Moses. I mean, Moses, it's going to be hard for you to fill his sandals. I'm not asking you to fill his sandals. I'm asking you to be Joshua. I'm not asking you to be Moses. I want you to be Joshua. And so he's making a statement, and he's dealing with some past here, maybe some thoughts, and maybe he's dealing with even something that went back 40 years. Moses, my servant, is dead because an experience that Joshua had 40 years prior to this was a negative experience. They had been this place before. And now they were here again. The last one wasn't so good. So he's making that statement to them. He's saying, arise and go over this Jordan to the land which I'm giving them. So in order for them to arise, here's what we have to do. We're going to have to eliminate these boundaries. Let me use another word that might be more understandable. Limitations. Boundaries are also limitations. Now, we can say that there are certain boundaries that are good. We set for ourselves to live within those boundaries. But they can also be limitations. They can hinder us from going on. They can hinder us from moving into what God has for us because we're kind of stuck back here in what we have developed because of our past lives and experiences, these boundaries we put around us. So every time we're challenged, we know we should be moving there, but there's a doubt. That's a boundary. How about self-doubt? Self-worth? Can I really do it? Is that really me? It could be a hurt. It could be a disappointment. It could be a position that you went for on the job and you didn't get it. So any other opportunities to come up in the future, you're not going to go that way any longer because that has become a limitation or boundary to you. How many are still following me? This is real, people. And I believe that all of us in one way or another have set some limitations on ourselves that keep us being what God wants us to be. God wants to take you on. God has some good things for you. He wants to take you on into the fruit of the land. You know what the fruit of the land? You're here because you know there's fruit. With the things that God does, there are good things. You know that. You've even tasted of it a little bit. But you know what the fruit is? Is that there are many believers in Christ that don't walk in the joy, which is the fruit of God's Spirit. They don't walk in the peace of God. They don't walk with the trust of God because they're still doubting. Instead of walking in their dreams, walking in what God has for them, they're walking in their fears. Their fears have identified them. Their doubts have shaped them. And I'm talking about us that are here today. We've got to break loose of those. We got to put them aside. And they're very hard sometimes. And without God's help and the work of God's Spirit, man, you could be bound until Jesus Christ comes back and never experience the promised land that God has for you. God wants you to move on. People can't rise above their limitations. You ever hear the expression, let go and let God? It's an old one. It came out of the 70s, 80s, but it's still right. Let go and let God. You see, letting go opens up the way for other possibilities. You got to forgive yourself. There are some people that are holding on, they can't forgive themselves because of mistakes they believe they've made, they have caused. Because you don't forgive yourself, you can't move on. You don't see a solution, and the only you might see the solution, but the solution has problems with it that bring back bad memories, so you're not about to go there. So you don't go to where the solution is. You see, we can't allow someone else's opinion become our reality. And that's what happens as we grow up. Other people's opinions of you have become your reality. You're living in that reality of other people's opinion. And it's never what God designed for you. That's not God's opinion of you. That's not what he's thinking about you. His thought toward you are good. Theirs could have been evil. His thought is to move you forward, to give you the land, to give you an inheritance, to move you into the fruit of the land. And yet, because you have been shaped, formed by other people's opinion, that's where you live. God wants you delivered from that. If you carry strong feelings about something that happened in your past, they may hinder your ability to live in the present and the future. What are those strong feelings that keep popping up? Too many of us are living in our fears and not our dreams, as I said. You see, the past, get this one, is not a blueprint to the future. And a lot of us have kind of put it down. It's a blueprint now. Oh, okay. Now, it's not a real negative thing sometimes. Do you know your successes can become a blueprint that limits you from going on to greater successes? Absolutely. Because you look at it and you kind of say, well, done it, 20 years, 30 years, kind of worked for me, bam, there it is, that's the way I'm going to do it. And guess what? You never move on in your marriage. You never move on in other relationships. You never move on in understanding more what the character and abilities that God has for you. You stop. Boy, we can't stop. We convince ourselves we can never do it. Therefore, attitudes stay the same. Fears are still there. Doubts rule us. And fears and doubts then dictate the decisions you make. And you make decisions then based on those fears and doubts. Because limitations are based on fears and doubts, self-doubt being one of them. Now, I want to go back. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go back, though, 40 years prior to Joshua here. And I want to show you how these same limitations, the limitations, the boundaries they put on themselves, hindered them from going on the first time and will hinder us from going on into uncharted areas this time. Back when Moses was leading them, it was not long after they left Egypt. Let's say, some people argue over this, but let's say it's about 18 months. I think there was an 18-month period of time that it was in God's will, take them out of the Egypt, lead them through the wilderness, teach them certain things to trust and have faith in him, take them to Mount Sinai, receive the word of God, understand what his power and glory is about, and then move them on into the promised land. And that's where they were after about 12 to 18 months into their journey. Then they sent spies over into the land. That's the setting that we have here. Now they departed. I'm in Numbers 13:26. You can mark it down, but read it later. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation. They showed them the fruit of the land. Interesting. Then they told them, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, don't say that word. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. Their cities are fortified. They're very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak. They were giants. Then Caleb, listen to this. This is a real key to breakthrough and deliverance. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said this, "Let us go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it." Listen, here's a real key, and I'm going to go on with this point, but here's a key. Don't entertain your doubts and fears for a moment. For a moment. You got to know from the time the temptation comes, from the time the doubt begins to discourage you from moving on, from the time that hurt from the past keeps you from trying again and trusting God again, the moment it comes to attack you, you need to say, "God, I am going, devil, get behind me. I'm going now into it." Don't give it a moment. Don't give the devil a foothold, because if you do, he'll just work it. He'll work it in your life and keep it from coming back. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people. They are stronger than we." They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land. "The land which we have gone as spies is the land that devours its inhabitants. The people we saw are men of great stature." Now listen to this. "We saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, in our own sight, so we were in their sight." They first saw themselves unable to do it as grasshoppers, only to be stepped on. And as they saw themselves with the inability and the limitations that they put before themselves, that's what they became in the sight of the enemy. It starts with you. It starts with you. God has come to reveal himself to you in a great way, with a great future. He wants to put dreams in your heart. He wants you to go after those dreams. He wants you to have a vision for your family. He wants to have a vision for your marriage. He wants you to have a vision for the job. He wants you to have the fruits of the Spirit flowing in your life. Don't limit what God can do. There are some people that are harboring and holding on to things that happened 40, 50, 60 years ago. 40, 50, 60 years ago. They cannot move forward. Every relationship they try fails. Why? Because one failed in the past. People who are into second marriages, they can't seem to really get ahead because of things that happened in the first marriage and the hurts that they were experienced. And they carry that into the second. And we just carry these things into all our relationships because, first of all, we don't forgive ourselves, and then we don't forgive others. And it only hurts you when you don't forgive other people. So the limitations will keep you from the land that God has for you. Now let me answer one more question, which is a point. Well, the last verse of that is to stand fast. Say, "Stand fast with me." "Therefore, in the liberty which Christ has made us free," Galatians 5:1, that's a great verse. We need to stand fast, hold our ground, don't let the enemy discourage us. Now here's a question, make up our third point. Why would God want to take us where we haven't been before? God, what is it? Do you get some thrill out of us going somewhere that we haven't been before? You know? No, it's none of that. Here's the answer: to show us more of himself. God wants to reveal himself to you. And how does he do that? From one experience to another experience? You'll see something different about God in every experience, and they're all going to be different. So as we move into the uncharted territories, to places we haven't been, and we ask God, "God, take my marriage and make it better than it's ever been." And maybe I'm talking to someone that's had 40-year anniversary. Why not make the next 20 years the best years of your marriage? But we limit ourselves by saying, "Well, we have a good marriage. It's okay. I told her I loved her 40 years ago. She should hang on to that." That kind of attitude toward marriage. But you can have a better marriage. I have to say, Cheryl and I are experiencing the best years of our marriage in the last 5 years. We just celebrated the 40-year anniversary. We really are. We're enjoying each other more. And the reason being is because, you know, we're allowing God to take us to place, be more open, be more intimate, be more honest with one another. Can that happen? Absolutely. We don't know if you're just satisfied with where you are. Well, it doesn't matter. In other relationships, it can happen also. Now, so he wants to show us more of himself. Look at this verse. It's a great verse in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 3, again, we're going back to Moses. Listen to what Moses said. Moses now is told by God, Moses, you're not going to go into the promised land. I won't go into the details of why. Joshua is going to lead him in. You're not going to be able to go in. Here's Moses' response. O Lord God, you have begun. You see that word begun? Circle it, highlight it, remember it. You have begun to show your servant your greatness, your mighty hand. And for what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do anything like your works and mighty deeds? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land before beyond the Jordan. You see what he's saying here? Moses is just saying, God, I've just begun to experience who you are. I just begun. Lord, I feel like I hardly know you. I've begun. And Moses knew God. But he knew this. He knew that God was going to reveal himself even in greater ways over in the promised land. And Moses wanted to be part of it. And so would I. And so should you. I want God to reveal himself. I want more of his character. I want more of his holiness revealed. I want more to see more of his mercy, more of his faithfulness, more of his goodness, because that translates into me drawing nearer to him and moving into where God has me to be. Does this make sense? This is what Moses wants. Moses said in Exodus 33, show me now your way that I may what? Know you. Moses wasn't just interested in seeing the mighty acts. He wasn't interested in just seeing another miracle. No, I think this is the furthest thing from his mind. What he wanted to see was God himself. Show me your glory. Moses, you can't handle. Show me your glory. He wouldn't let out. Okay, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by. That's what Moses wants. Listen, if you're just in this to see God's ways and his miracle and pull you out of things, it's the wrong approach. We want to see him for who he is. He's God. He is mighty. He is majestic. He's awesome. He's holy. None stands before him or beside him. None is his equal. That's who we want to see. And by you moving ahead and trusting him, you will see more of that. How's this going to happen? Jesus gave us a promise in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ministry is to minister, to be in the believer, to help us understand more about God and more about his ways.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.